Just a quick aside before the actual homily. The length of the exile and the reason for the length was explained in the first reading. And it's so the land could recover its lost Sabbaths. And with all of the other things that happened that Israel did to be unfaithful to God, that one gets lost, I think, a lot of the times in just in the details. It seems like a detail in the midst of bigger things. But when you in the first reading, it says that this is until the land reclaims its lost Sabbaths. And now, of course, that's speaking of the seventh year. But the seventh day is relevant as well. And just how important is it to the Lord that we're here? How important is it to the Lord that this is a day set aside? That's something to look into. But, you know, I give that to you. And so that the homily may not be 30 minutes, I'll get on with it. The gospel here is, this is the most simple, you know, John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, and the most simple, concise way to present the gospel message in a Bible verse. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, when God loves the world, what does he see? Like, he doesn't look at the world and love the world and say, you're doing so great. Oh, you don't need anything. I'm just so proud of you, and that's all. That's all. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, because we were already condemned by our own actions, by our own choices, by our own sins. We already stood condemned. He didn't come to do that. He came to lift the condemnation off of us because he loves us. When we hear these words, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We see how God loves the world. He loves the world and says, oh, I love you. You're doing terribly. You need help. I love you, and I'm going to give you that help. I am that help. That's what Jesus says of himself. And whoever believes in him, whoever believes in the only Son of God will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned. It already happened for all of us. We cannot understand anything about the gospel if we don't understand this basic reality that we stand before we know God, unless we know God, until we know God, we all stand as sinners condemned by our own actions and choices. We need a Savior, each one of us. That's, in a sense, some people talk about this as, this is the bad news. This is the bad news. Some of us, I mean, I hope you know that in your bones about yourself. I do about myself, and I know some of you do about yourselves. It's you're like, oh, that's so condemning. It's like, well, that's what it says. That's what it says. And so, but what's the upshot of this? Well, the default condition of the human person is not to go to heaven. Contrary to what all of society says, and everyone tells themselves, oh, everyone goes to heaven unless you're Hitler or Stalin or Mao. And the political party which you dislike. Okay? Those people are all going to hell, but you're fine. That's what the world kind of says. That's what the world kind of believes. And you know what? It's not true. It's not true. It's not the default condition for us to go to heaven. But God made a way for us to go to heaven. And that way is his son. He gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And this is, it's something, again, to know in your bones that I know that Jesus is the way to heaven and the only way. And that he, through his death on the cross, has lifted the condemnation off of me. The reading from, oh, did I get the first and the second reading confused? With, no, I didn't. This Moses, it was from the gospel. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. These people were struck by these seraph serpents and dying and sick, and Moses puts on a pole. Like, imagine up on a crucifix in the middle of the desert, he puts this bronze serpent, and anyone who looks on it is saved. Seems odd. Seems like an unusual thing. You know, we're looking at death itself. Lifted up, and by looking at death itself lifted up on a cross, on a pole, we're saved? I don't understand. God's making a cure out of something that looks like death. God's giving us salvation out of something that looks like a curse. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. And so why do we have these events in the Old Testament? So that we understand what's happening at the crucifixion. So that we can look on the cross and say, oh, something that looks like death but is actually salvation. And it was death. I mean, Jesus died. He really died. That really happened. But when I look on that and put my trust in God, just as the Israelites in the desert looked at this bronze serpent, probably the last thing you would want to look at. Can you imagine? Like, what if all of you got bitten by this horrible snake and then me and Deacon Dan over here, we were like, let's build a bronze serpent to remind you of the thing that just bit you and now you're dying. Just look at this. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem very popular. And Moses, they never killed him. They never murdered him. And yet, that's what he does. He obeys the Lord. A lot of faith there. A lot of things we could say about Moses. But the point is that it's pointing to Jesus. And a lot of people see the crucifix and say, why am I looking at that? I don't want to look at that. It makes me feel uncomfortable or guilty or I don't know. There's a lot of things that we could see when we look on that. But what is offered to us is salvation. What is offered to us is, do you trust me? Do you trust that what I've done for you? So when we look on the cross with faith and see, oh, the condemnation that was headed for me is on Jesus. And so it's not coming for me. He's taken it. He stepped in front of me. He has taken this curse of sin on himself and broken it through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. That is how we put, like, that kind of trust in Jesus is what we need to see. You know, the Son of Man is lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And the reality of eternal life is that there is no other way than Jesus. There's a painting. There's a lot of versions of this painting that I think is it's a helpful, it's just a simple image. It's also done in stick figure, so many different beautiful versions of that, of course. On one hand, on the one side, you have all of humanity. On the other side is heaven and God, and there's a chasm, an infinite abyss in the middle. A lot of you know you've seen this or versions of this. Maybe you've drawn stick figure versions of this or something. There's this infinite chasm and abyss in between. And there's really no way to cross from where man is, where this life is, where earth is, to be with God in heaven. There's no way. And there's this road that leads kind of down. There's a path that goes straight. It gets kind of narrow, goes kind of uphill. There's these stairs. It's kind of tough. People are kind of going and, you know, ultimately it gets down to single file. But on the path that goes down toward this abyss, it's really this broad, wide path, easy to go, down, kind of downhill. Lots of people are on it. And at a certain point, you can just slide right down. You don't even have to walk. You can just slide right down the path into the abyss, into destruction. And if you stay on that narrow path, and it's uphill and it's arduous, doesn't look very comfortable, there's this bridge that goes from one side of the chasm to the other side. And that bridge is in the shape of a cross. And that cross is Jesus. It represents him. That when we're walking across, when And it represents faith in him. Like when we look at the crucifix and say, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me. And I put my trust in you. And I have a relationship with you. Like I'm, you know, there's this relationship lived out, walked out each day. You have these people walking across this bridge that is Jesus. That's their walk with Christ, their daily walk, their daily prayer, sometimes daily mass. But what, Lord, what do you want me to do? This just obedience to him, but trusting in him, putting their trust in him in an active way each day, walking across this bridge. And you know, it's not an easy path, but it's ultimately, it leads across the abyss to the safety of the other side to heaven. In that painting is another way to say, or to draw, I suppose, what is being said here in John 3, 14 and 15 and 16. That he's lifted up so that we can be saved. But we have to put our trust in Jesus. And this is where the Lord wants to give us a deeper confidence in him. I think that what God is doing in general in us is to destroy our self-confidence when it's apart from God. It sounds a little mean or something, but he doesn't want you to have illusions. He doesn't want you to be like, I got this, Lord. I got this. I don't need you. I'm okay. I'm a good person. I don't need to go to church. Well, congratulations. Like, I'm not. You know, he doesn't want you to have that kind of confidence in yourself. It's stupid. It's wrong. It's really wrong. It's actually, I shouldn't even try to use a word for it, but it is deception. He wants us to have zero confidence apart from him, and he wants us to have a complete confidence in him so that you actually know the answer to the following question. And I'm about to scandalize some of you, but I'm telling the truth. God wants you to know with great confidence the answer to the following question. It's the one I ask at the Diag at U of M a lot. If you died tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or hell? I get a lot of answers. And I realize I don't ask you that. And some of you don't think you know. And I think that God wants you to know. I don't mean in a presumptive way. Presumption is where you say, oh, I'm going to heaven, but you're not living the life. You know, what's the rest of this gospel? The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. What's happening? No repentance. They're in love with sin. I'm not talking about presumption where you're in love with sin and you're like, oh, I can go to church and still be embracing sin and serious sin and I'm not going to try to repent. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's the kind of self-confidence God wants to destroy. That's the kind of presumption God wants to say, you're not on the bridge. You're not walking with Jesus. You're on the road that goes down to the abyss. I want you walking on the road with me. So I'm not talking about presumption, but I am talking about faith. I am talking about confidence, and I am talking about the joy that the Lord wants you to have. That's why I'm wearing these rose-colored vestments, after all. Okay? So that we see how much we love Jesus? See how much the things will... Okay, why? Because it's supposed to be a symbol of joy. What is the joy that the Lord wants you to have? I believe for some of you, there's always this impossibility to heaven. And God actually wants to take that out of your mind and give you confidence in who Jesus is. Not presumption, confidence. That when you put your trust in him and when you walk with him, and yes, we sin and we stumble and we fall. That's why there's confession. The Lord, he wants us to avail ourselves of this, because every time we go there, we say, yes, Lord, I sin, but I'm choosing you, and I might stumble, but I'm choosing you, and I know what I'm about, and I'm not just going to go down the road of sin and hide in the darkness and pretend to be in the light while being in the dark. No, I'm going to come to you. That's what confession does every single time, is we say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for all of them. I turn away from anything that would keep you from being close to me. And we ask for his Holy Spirit And that is a prayer God answers every time. That is a prayer that's great to pray on your own, but that's what actually happens for sure in confession. And the faith that God wants you to have, the confidence that he wants you to have in him, in who he is, in what he has done, is it's throughout Scripture, but it's right here. That you might not perish, but might have eternal life. He came to save you. He didn't die on the cross, okay, so that you could think, I don't know if I'm good enough to go to heaven. He died on the cross so that you would know I'm absolutely not, but Jesus is good enough for me to go to heaven. I think that's a good way to answer it. Is Jesus good enough for you to go to heaven? And to say, Lord, I'm actually with you. If somebody were to ask me, somebody has asked me this, do you believe in assurance of salvation? And I said, well, Catholics, we like to emphasize that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I forget the scripture reference. That there are these, I've been saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. Right? We don't want to go into presumption. And that's good, right? And I'm not a fan of presumption. But, and neither is God. But to say, yeah, I have great confidence that that is the case, is a statement of my trust in him. And it's a statement of what would be the reason for my confidence? And if I point to myself first, I don't know if that's what the Lord is looking for. Now, we have to choose. And if you haven't chosen for Jesus, and if you aren't living a sacramental life, like meaning confession, you need to choose. Are you really on the bridge or are you not? Because eternity is binary. There's heaven and there's hell. Like it's a one or it's a zero. You're either 1-0 or you're 0-1. Like that's all there is. But once we've done that, and while we're doing that, like once we've done that, we're supposed to abide there with Jesus. We're supposed to stay on that bridge, stay in that, walking on that bridge and that relationship with Jesus. And when we are doing that, he wants us to have great confidence and he wants us to have great joy. There's this wonderful song, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Okay, it's in Christ alone, that song. That's the joy that when the world sees that, they say, oh, I want to be like those Christians. And I would love for people to say that about you. I want to be like those Catholics at St. Mary. Like they just have this confidence and this joy. It's like they know where they're going. It's like they know whose they are. That's the faith. That's the joy that comes from real faith in Jesus.